HQ podcast. Our producer Dylan has just informed us that we were recording.
Whoa.
I had no idea we were recording. We were talking about like
I hope that you didn't hear any of that stuff.
I mean, we were talking about like Lakers, like like dragons and things like that. Like,
dragons. Mostly dragons.
Okay. Well, we should
You know me, big fantasy guy.
Yeah, you do live in fantasy. We are talking after the Warriors beat the Jazz 115-108 in the final game in Oracle
Arena. Final home game,
before the All-Star break. What did you see tonight, obviously? Did you see anything that really is overarching in this game that we can go to, or do you want to go to like
It might be an interesting playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the Warriors played particularly that excellent of a game. They didn't play a poor game, but they didn't play that excellent of a game. They didn't shoot the three ball all that well. Thought the Jazz played their asses off for most of the contest. Yeah, that's about it. I wouldn't listen. I don't think we should think too hard about this contest. Warriors won. They played about two good quarters.
I've seen some things, Dieter.
Oh, please.
I think Draymond is my defensive player of the year.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I think Draymond is my defensive player of the year.
You see, it's up to you.
Maybe I'm caught in the moment.
It's a bit of recency bias, I would argue.
It's a bit of recency bias, but tonight
it's going to be hard to vote for him over Rudy Gobert after the performance we just saw, though.
I'm just saying that he played really well. We talked about this in our three things that he had in a sequence where he just blocks it was ridiculous. He blocks an alley-oop attempt.
Yep.
I didn't know he could get that high. He blocked an alley-oop attempt intended for Rudy Gobert. The next possession, he closes out like
Jay Crowder stood no chance.
He had his inner Zion Williamson.
Oh man!
And blocked Jay Crowder at the end. It just seems like he was really good. But
it wasn't even just those two possessions. Like that, it was even deeper than that. Like he had a nasty block at the rim in the first half. He was just everywhere. Especially when Boogie was on the floor, because Boogie's pick-and-roll defense has just been atrocious.
Yeah.
And the Jazz, obviously, with Gobert as one of the best rollers in the league, like they had a really good opportunity to just exploit that time and time and time again. They didn't go to it very often after about the first five or six plays because Draymond would just rotate into it. And then he would still be able to get to the corner. Like he was just leaving his dude wide open in an effort to shut that down, and then he was still there. He was in two places at one time. It was some mystical stuff.
But I think that's something we talked about before DeMarcus came in, and that was just how he will play, specifically defensively. But when you put Draymond Green on the lineup with him, it kind of erases a lot of sins for DeMarcus. But I'm glad that you kind of brought it up, DeMarcus, in this sense. What do you kind of take, and I'll give you my opinion in a second, but what do you kind of take of his overall first 3 weeks? What grade would you give him along that?
I think I know what you're going to say, and I agree with it, so long as I'm right, which is I appreciate his effort. He wants to do it. I think that the Warriors really want him to get there. It's not there yet. I don't know if it will ever get there, but he's trying really hard. He fits the system. He's not, he's not pouting. He has been a consummate professional. If his body ever wants to get in line with his head, it's game over. I mean, no one's coming within 20 points of this team.
So what grade are you giving him?
C+.
I'd take that. I would have probably given
it
him.
It might be a little bit higher.
Honestly, if it wasn't for the last couple of games, I probably would have given him like a B, a B+. But
that's
I do
fair.
Think that...
That's fair.
I do think that
it's hard to say. It's expectations versus reality, right?
Exactly. And he started out really welcome.
That Clippers game messed me up.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, it's over.
He never missed a second.
Yeah, I just think that the biggest question mark for him is going to be his defense. And that was evident tonight, and that's going to be evident through most nights, unless he can just somehow get to where he was, which wasn't a great defender to begin with.
No.
That's something that's going to have to keep – that he's going to have to figure out along those lines because, let's just be honest, when they're in a pick and roll and Draymond's out on the floor,
it's over.
It's over.
It's really gross to look at, to be honest.
And if he plays like this during the playoffs, we're going to see a lot of Kevon Looney. We're going to probably see a hint of Jordan Bell.
Yeah. Now, there are some rumblings, rumors that our man Damian Jones might be ready to go by the time the playoffs come around. They might add an extra guy at the center position. They might add a wing. They might not add anybody in the buyout market. We'll see what happens there. But, DeMarcus's pick-and-roll defense is bad, and we saw that particularly in the Heat game. I mean, it was you can't blame the guy for having atrocious pick and roll defense. He wasn't a good defender, and he's playing on a bum wheel. So it is what it is. It's just a question of how many times teams are going to exploit it in a row, how rote they want to be. The Jazz clearly had some idealistic viewpoint of how they wanted to play basketball tonight and decided to not go back to the free candy store time and time again. That's their prerogative. If you don't have Draymond out there, it's an issue. I'd be interested to see more minutes with DeMarc. If Draymond's not on the court, you need to have Andre on the court with DeMarcus because he can do a lot of the same things that Draymond does. Not necessarily at the rim, but in terms of just getting from one place to another. Few people are like Andre Iguodala. The issue is that, you know, Draymond Green is probably the greatest defender I've ever seen.
Are you ready to just say that Andre Iguodala is just going to be good this season? Are you ready to come out and say it? Because yeah. Andre's been playing phenomenal, and you've always just been kind of skeptical.
There's been
about
a baseline
that.
Presumption that he just wouldn't try.
Yeah.
I would say since Thanksgiving, seems about right, whenever the Warriors went down a bunch of dudes. So Steph's injury, Draymond's injury, Andre just turned it up, and he hasn't turned it off yet. And Steve Kerr said after the game tonight that he's playing with house money.
He is.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I am still skeptical on if he still has a full tank of gas for the playoffs. Like, there's a reason. I do not doubt anything Andre Iguodala does. He's a very, very smart man. And if he decided that he needed to shut down for an entire regular season to be ready for the playoffs in the past 2 years, I'm like, well, what's the difference this year? And he can't really explain it. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. There's a skepticism there, but there's no question he's been fantastic for them. And maybe he shuts it down with the rest of the team, but I don't think that he's going to go back to his sandbagging ways anytime soon. He missed his opportunity to do that.
Yeah, no, let's be frank. This year has gone by so fast, but I think that if Andre can keep doing that, we haven't seen this regular season Andre since
2015.
72-3?
I think it may have even been before that.
Yikes. But I think that...
Because there was a little bit of, like, I've proven everything I needed to prove by winning finals MVP, and he would kind of turn it on and off.
Pat McCall came, and he was like, for one game, he was like, yo, I'm still Andre Iguodala. I'm going to get this bag.
Exactly right.
But I think that is a welcome sign because it's a calmness. You know, Steve always talks about a calmness that comes with whenever Sean Livingston comes on the floor, whenever Andre comes on the floor. And they kind of need that going, especially going forward with a lot of the young guys. But
what young guys? I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, if we want to talk about something that we got going on here, like Quinn Cook's been getting some run as of late, but they've knocked Alphonso McKinney straight up out of the rotation.
Do you think they've just get the youth movement just out of here? What do you think about that youth movement coming up?
Well, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. Like, when the Jordan Bell situation happened, it's like, okay, I get it. Coaches don't like wild. They don't like unpredictable coming off the bench. Right or wrong, that is how it is. They want someone who is reliable to come out. You know exactly what you're getting, even if it isn't great. You just know what you're getting. I know that McKinney has had a lot of defensive struggles, like, legitimately, and a lot of them get covered up because there are such great team defenders on the Warriors. But I can't explain why he's out of the rotation. And I haven't gotten a good explanation yet. And listen, it's not as if Jarebko hasn't been playing well. It's not as if he doesn't deserve the minutes too, but like maybe expand the rotation a little bit. I think Quinn Cook, it's nice to see Quinn Cook getting some run outside of just garbage time because I think he's been pretty damn good as of late, especially when you put the right personnel around him.
Quinn Cook is an interesting case just because, like, this was supposed to be the year, right? That
right.
He just, you know, just capitalizes on that, on the season he had last year.
He didn't even get that much run when Steph was out. I mean, he got playing time, but it sure seemed like he had a short leash then.
No, I mean, he was starting games. He was getting buckets. He was averaging double digits. I mean, I think that's what they kind of expected out of him this year. And
yeah.
Just kind of had.
I'm talking about this year. Last year, obviously, he was a beast last year when Steph was out. I mean, when Steph was out for that stretch this year, yeah, he was starting games. Do you remember him being, like, all that impactful?
When Steph was in the lineup?
Out of the lineup this year.
No,
he missed that like 11-12 game stretch there after Thanksgiving.
I think that's what they wanted, right?
March, April last year.
But then Iguodala started starting at point guard, and that was that. I think that Quinn he's chomping at the bit like most of the young guys for another opportunity, like another real opportunity. He played like 5 minutes tonight.
Most more than he was getting.
Yeah,
past
but
couple.
I think
five's
that
better than nothing.
I think that. you know, we'll see what happens. You know, last year the young guys kind of came into form in the playoffs.
It felt like they had roles, right? Like even you just knew what their responsibilities were. Like Jordan wasn't going to play every night, but like neither was JaVale, and like they would just find a spot. Okay, this is a good matchup for him. You playing the Phoenix Suns, we're going to give Jordan 40 minutes tonight. Like, and it was, I don't know. It just seemed like there's a rhyme or reason. This rotation seems on lockdown, and I don't know how these guys get in.
I think that the biggest thing is, and I guess early on, with Jordan and Quinn, it's the, you know, I know from Jordan's standpoint, I want to expand my game. I want to show that I'm more than just a guy that can play really good defense. And you know, this is what happened at that.
To that point, though, I mean, if he wants to expand his game and say that he's just a guy who can play better, he's got to play better defense. He's got to hold up the latter end of that bargain if he wants to expand his game. That was the issue that I think a lot of the coaching staff had, which is like, oh, you think that you're more than a defensive player? I'm not seeing a great defensive player out here. I'm seeing flashes, but you're still biting on every pump fake. You're still running yourself out of position. But you have to, you know, you have to let the young Mustangs run out in the field every now and again so that they can learn. So if you're not, you don't practice enough in the NBA to feel like you're going to get development in that arena.
But in this, we've talked about this before. But in this quest for another championship, it's hard to develop guys. This just is what it is.
I don't know. I let's bring Doug Kurtenbach, my dad, into this for a second.
What's popping, Doug?
Like, I mentioned to him, he's like, do they have any young players that are coming up? And I go, no, not really. And he goes, well, what happens if Kevin leaves? And I go, they figure it out. Like, and he's like, if they have to worry about, you know, next year they're going to have even more roster attrition. Like, Sean Livingston is going to be hard to bring him back. There's going to be guys that they're going to lose because of the salary situation with or without Kevin. And if it's with Kevin, it's like, Jesus Christ, they're going to be signing us to 10-day contracts every 11 days. And maybe you bite a little bit of the bullet here and you give some young guys some run, like they were doing with Damian Jones.
Would you do that at the expense of rhythm, right? Because they're playing their best basketball of the season. Do you sacrifice that to get the young guys in?
I sacrifice it at the to the extent of Kevin Durant played 37 minutes tonight on the first end of a back-to-back. Steph Curry played 36. This team used to play 27, 28, 30 minutes a night, and they were fine. I mean, it's not as if they don't have – with DeMarcus, the paradigm changes a smidge, but it's not as if these guys aren't familiar with playing with each other. They've won 3 of the last 4 championships and two back-to-back with this – you know, the same closing group if we're talking about the Hamptons 5. Like, screw rhythm to a certain degree. Somebody's having a party in this back room.
Yeah, man. Someone is really excited that the Warriors are out of here for a week.
It's just like, you see what happened earlier this year with Pat McCaw. I don't think Pat McCaw played his cards right, but you can understand to a certain extent why he was aggrieved. Like, he didn't feel like there was going to be an opportunity here for him here with the Warriors.
Might be an opportunity to get better.
Something. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure. That is a lot of layers to peel off of that onion. And again, I don't think it's necessarily a fair, you know, I don't think it was a fair viewpoint that Pat had. Someone's like having like a band.
Yo, it is lit.
Okay. But like, you look at it now, like Quinn, Jordan Bell, now McKinney, Damian Lee hasn't been getting any, he's up with the team. He hasn't been getting any run. Jacob Evans was supposed to be an impact player.
Jacob Evans is hurt right now and can't even get on the floor. Well, he couldn't get on the floor when he was healthy, but. Yeah, Jacob.
How did he get hurt playing in the G League? Was it because he was better than the competition? And he pulled something.
You know, he got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
I guess, man. I mean, I asked Bob Myers, the GM, a week ago, like, what happened with Jacob Evans? And he's like, yeah, I got that one wrong. It's like, God, buried him on the spot.
Yeah, that was there. That conference, it hurt. But it just seems like, you know, the last few off seasons. In the effort to support this all-star cast, it just hasn't worked out. I mean, if you talk, and Jarebko was really good.
Jarebko was a good pickup, but I'm talking about young guys who are on team-controlled contracts. Who do they have? I mean, they don't have very many guys who are under contract for next year in general, much less guys that are cheap. So,
well, I mean, if you let's be real. If you, it, you can bring, theoretically, you can bring, we're looking at the roster now, you can bring these guys back. You can bring Quinn Cook back for relatively cheap.
Right.
You can bring Alfonso's guaranteed for next season.
Yes.
Jordan, qualifying offer, get him back. I think you can get him back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's fair. But I think Kavan's probably gone.
Yeah, we thought that last year too, though.
Valid. I stand for Kavan, though, so it's
I wrote a whole piece last year saying that he might play his way out of town.
I think we all agreed with that piece.
And, yeah, it didn't work out. So, I think that
the NBA market's broken, man.
Huh?
The NBA market is just broken.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that you can bring this cast back. The key is going to be developing them.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I do want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is the biggest thing you want to see from the Warriors going into the last stretch of the season into the playoffs?
Championship-level defense. And I think we saw it for spurts against the Jazz. When Draymond plays like this, when Klay plays like this, when Andre plays like this on the defensive end, I think that's sort of the that's the thing you need to see. Like, that's the thing you need to see to feel convinced that this team is going to be able to lock down if the going gets tough. If they lose one of their superstars in the playoffs, they'll still be able to get over the hump. You have to. This team has just tried to outscore teams all year. They're getting away with it.
Well, I mean, they do have the best grind of the best offensive team in the league.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know that that does not fly necessarily in the playoffs when you have specialized game plans. Teams are going to be doing a lot of stuff that we've seen the Warriors struggle with a little bit, where, okay, we're just going to double-team Steph and Durant all the time, and we'll see what happens. I'd like to see more championship-level defense. I think the big key for that isn't the guys that we've already praised tonight for their defense. It's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant takes his defense up a notch. We know what he is offensively. I mean, he's absolutely brilliant. I think Steph's taken his defense up a notch in the last couple of games. But if KD joins everybody there, whew, that's a special team.
I think I want to see, back to our other point, I want to see what the young guys do. I want to see if they, one, can get out into the rotation, if Kerr can, and build that trust. Because,
yeah.
I mean, they all have roles that they need to be good in. I mean, they – Jordan can play good defense. Alfonso yeah. should be
an impact player in the playoffs with his energy and rebounding ability.
Most definitely.
But why? But he's got to get back in the rotation.
But how did he get out of the rotation?
Again, no idea.
I don't know exactly why. He was getting offensive boards. He was playing well. He was making
Steve's taking out some anger on Generation Z or something.
You were getting tears streaming down your eyes about how good he was. But I think that
it was the low wants to know curse.
There is a low wants to know. I don't think there's a low.
It's out there. It's a specter, a pall.
I know. The low wants to know curse is I guess it's alive and well. We had the Quinn Cook piece to start the season. Then Kevin was in the Kevin Durant was in the the Christmas one, and then now he hates your guts.
That's
and
fine.
So, and then now we have if you didn't know, we have Kavan. We have Kavan coming on the podcast soon.
Oh, geez. Don't do that to my man, Kavan. I got to cancel that under any circumstances.
And then we have Alfonso McKinney coming in tomorrow.
It's a wonderful piece. I'll give it that. But you didn't have to do my man Al like that.
I mean, we're getting Kavan Looney on the podcast. It's already going through, man.
Killing me.
We were supposed to have this for the last 3 weeks, and I think you're the one that's
been
killing it.
I've been texting Ray Ritter on the side, like, don't let him go on there, man.
I don't know.
Man. My timeline can't handle it.
It's just been – what would you do if Kavan just falls off a cliff out of nowhere?
Man, that would make me so much sadder than that. Like, if he went and played for, like, the Rockets or something.
The Rockets showed interest last year.
If he goes and plays for the Rockets – I mean, maybe he'll eat, and then I'll be happy for Kavan because he's a nice guy and deserves, you know, a bunch of money and, you know, to have a good time playing basketball. But if I have to watch that unwatchable brand of BS basketball so that I can get my Kavan Looney fix, I'm going to be a very sad person.
What if there's, like, Kavan Looney revenge game in the next – in the 2020
How would
playoffs?
I feel about that? I'm supposed to be a number one Warriors homer, but I'm also the a number one Kavan Looney stan. Like, how would that play out? Just a man torn, a man with no country.
Your brain would explode.
I'm going on vacation.
Like Kavan switching on Stephen Curry. Oh. Just out of nowhere. No, I don't know what to do.
Lock him down, Kavan. No. Let's just pray that never happens.